Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, amen. Luke chapter number 19, we'll look here this morning and give you a little thought. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Again, if you're visiting with us today, thank you so very much for being here, man. You're our honored guest, and we appreciate you being here today. Luke chapter number 19, if you was not to have a Bible, it'll be on the screens this morning. Verse number 1 says this, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." The Bible said in verse 4, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham." I love verse number 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." Again, verse number 5 has been our text. The Bible said, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Father, thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you for loving us. God, I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us as I preach today. God, please don't leave me alone to do this. God, you called me, and now I'm asking you, Lord, to enable me and empower me to preach your word today. God, no doubt underneath the sound of my voice, there's someone here today that don't know you as their personal Savior. And I pray, God, that today would be the day of salvation for them. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday morning, we began looking at this story of Zacchaeus here in Luke chapter number 19. As we began studying it, I made reference to this. I said that there's probably not many in here that has been around church any time at all that hasn't heard the story of Zacchaeus. Matter of fact, I remember as a boy, I don't really remember vacation Bible school, but I do remember neighborhood Bible time is what we always had at Turner's Creek. And I remember neighborhood Bible time, and I remembered youth camps, and we would learn about Zacchaeus. I told you the song that we learned last week. It was Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, and as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, see, some of y'all went to the same VBS that I went to. Zacchaeus, you come down. And Zacchaeus comes down. The Lord goes home with him, and the Lord abides with him there. Zacchaeus, man, is such a great story. Honestly, we could preach weeks and weeks out of these 10 verses. Last week, we looked at the call of Zacchaeus. God, through the voice of Jesus, calls out to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Just as God calls to Zacchaeus, God calls to each and every one of us today. Zacchaeus was in a place, but God knew exactly where Zacchaeus was at. Jesus went exactly where he was at. I thought about verse number 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. The reason I believe that he was going there is because there was a little man that was interested in meeting a big God. Can I say this? The reason he went through Samaria that day in chapter number 4 of the Gospel of John is because there was a lady sitting at the well that just wanted a little water to drink, but she ended up leaving her water pot and going away with the well. Jesus changed her life that day. And just as Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus, and just as Jesus was seeking the Samaritan woman, Jesus is seeking you today if you're not saved. When we look at this call of salvation today, it was a gracious call. When Jesus come to the place, he looked up and saw him. We are here today because of the grace of God. Amen. Paul said it this way, I am what I am by the grace of God. None of us deserve the mercies of God. None of us deserve the love of God. Matter of fact, every one of us sitting here today, whether you want to agree or not, we deserve to be in a devil's hell. Oh, but aren't you thankful for the grace of God today and the grace of God that reached out to us? It was a gracious call. It was not only a gracious call, it was an urgent call, because he said this, make haste and come down. It is urgent that you do business with God. Hear me and hear me well. If you're sitting here today and you're lost and on the road to hell and God has showed you your need of him, what you need to do is be saved. And it's urgent. Make haste and do that. We not only notice that it was a gracious call and a urgent call, but watch this. It was a personal call. It was a personal call. I thought about the story in John chapter number 11 of Lazarus. When Jesus went to the place where Lazarus was dead, and I'm headed to the message. Stay with me. I'm going to watch the time. I've got to go baptize, okay? But stay with me this morning. Listen to this. When he got to the graveyard where he was at, have you ever noticed that Jesus didn't say, come forth? Let me tell you the reason he just didn't say come forth. If he'd have just said that, every dead person would have got up out of the grave. But what did he say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. He was speaking directly to Lazarus that day. You know what he said? Zacchaeus, come down. Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to Zacchaeus that day. Aren't you thankful for those times when the good God of glory speaks directly to us? It was a personal call. What did he say? Here's what he said to him, and I'm back to where I want to preach at this morning, but he said this, I must abide at thy house. I must abide. Let me just bring back thy remembrance, that word abide again today. It means to remain, and it conveys the idea of an overnight visit. Jesus did not ask Zacchaeus if he had any other plans, inquire about sufficient accommodations, or ask if another time was more convenient. Jesus simply said, man, I need to go to your house, and I need to spend time with you. Aren't you glad that Jesus is just not interested in getting us out of a tree or away from a well or up out of the ground? Aren't you thankful that Jesus is interested in going to the house with us and spending the night with us and walking with us and talking with us and fellowshipping with us? I love my wife, and I love to spend time with my wife. One thing that ever since we've been married, there's not been many days that we've spent apart. And some people says, well, man, I can't wait to get away from my wife, or I can't wait to get away. She might not can wait to get away from me, but I'm the opposite of that. We spend time together all the time. And yesterday, and you all know this, we enjoy exercising. Yesterday we was riding bikes back up through Stockner Farms off the Blue Ridge Parkway, and right by Brother Jamie and Miss Brother Justin and Miss Jamie, let me get that right, this morning's house, back up in that area. Man, it was beautiful. And Brother Mark, as we was coming around there, I was listening to the birds and the cows and the donkeys and the goats and listening to Brother Mark back there trying to learn how to breathe as he was pedaling. And I just got to thinking about the goodness of God. Leslie said, we come around this one curve, and man, there was cows all over this big rolling green hill. And she said, you know, the song, or somebody said, or the Bible, or somebody said, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Man, we was looking at that and the beauty of that. Here's exactly what I got to I just had a time going up a road. Here's what I got to thinking about. The one that created every bit of that. The one that spoke every bit of that into existence. Oh, yes, the one that made the rolling hills, the one that set the crown on Pilot Mountain, if you want to look at it that way, the one that put the rocks on the side of the hills. You know what? Each and every day of my life, I get to wake up and I get to talk to him and he talks to me and we get to fellowship together. You see, this salvation, it was a personal call because he wanted to abide with him, man. Wanted to spend time with him. Watch this. I not only see the call of his salvation, but I want you to note this with me today, and I'll look at this and we'll conclude unless the Lord takes me a different direction. But I want to look at the consenting to the call, or a spectacular salvation. You see, Jesus, when you look at this story, he talks to Zacchaeus. He tells Zacchaeus what he wants to do. But it all come down to this. Zacchaeus had to make a choice. Zacchaeus had to make a choice. You know, some people are really not good with making choices. Are you hearing me tonight or this morning? They just, have you ever... Brother Denny, you ever been riding up the road and looked over at Miss Tammy and said, where you want to eat? Well, I don't care. All right, well, I'm going to stop at El's Drive-In and get a shrimp burger. If you've never been to El's Drive-In and got a shrimp burger, man, you've missed out on life. I don't know where you've been your whole life. If you've never been to Morehead City and got a shrimp burger, have you ever had a shrimp burger from Morehead City, Brother Denny? I'm telling you, it will change your life. Extra slaw, praise God. I'm telling you, if we wasn't having church tonight, I'd drive to Morehead and get a shrimp burger for lunch. Now, watch this. No, I don't care, Denny. Okay, well, we're going to go buy El's. Well, no, I don't want that. Well, you just said you didn't care. Some of you men is scared to death to move right now. Okay, well, I tell you what, we'll go by Burger King and get a Big Mac. Or is that McDonald's? That's McDonald's. You can tell I don't go there. That we're going to go to McDonald's and get a, oh, no, I really don't want that. You just said you didn't care. Well, you pick, honey. You just go right ahead, Miss Tammy. You pick, you make it. Well, I really don't care. Just go wherever you want to. Okay, we're going to go to Chick-fil-A and pay $82 for two chicken sandwiches. Well, no, they're too expensive, but we'll go. Anybody ever been there? You say, preacher, what do you? Some people struggle with making a choice. Now, I know we talked about that and picked about that for just a minute, but there is those people, they just really struggle with making a choice. So you know what you have to do sometimes, Brother Denny? We just have to make the choice for them. And we go and we say, this is what I'm going to eat. If you want anything from here, you can order. And if not, you can eat Cheerios when we get home. Usually don't go over too well. Somebody said, oh, no. This is a choice nobody else can make for you, though. When it comes to salvation, and can I just say this? Everything is based off of the Word of God in our faith. So according to the Bible, okay, there's a heaven and there's a hell. Are you with me? Let me just bring it real simple for just a minute. There's heaven and there's hell. What sends people to hell is not God. It is man rejecting God's plan to rescue you from hell. You see, God saw man was going to mess up, and before the foundations of the world was ever laid, the Bible said that Jesus was already set up to pay man's penalty. I'm not quoting that verbatim, but you understand what I'm saying. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus and God had a plan to take care of the penalty for sin. What was the penalty for sin? It was a death, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What is the gift of God today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God knew man would mess up. God knew man would fail, but God in his sovereignty and God in his mercy and God in his grace decided that he would send Jesus, and Jesus would come to this earth, and he would bleed and he would die, and he that knew no sin would become sin so we could be made the righteousness of God through him. You see, what sends people to hell is this: you choosing to say no to salvation. That's what sends people to hell. Jesus has come to Zacchaeus. He's been gracious and stopping by his way. And he says, listen, man, I want to go home with you. But now Zacchaeus has to make a choice. Now Zacchaeus has to do something. You know what? You may say, well, I'm going to wait. And saying you're going to wait is saying no. You might as well take the Word of God and lay it down and step over it when you leave today. Because you're stepping over, you're shunning God. Is everybody hearing the preacher this morning? You're saying no to everything that God has for you. So here's Zacchaeus, what's he going to do? Well, Zacchaeus accepts the Lord, and Zacchaeus is saved. Number one, watch this. I'm going to show it right down through verse 6 through 10. Number one, Zacchaeus received the Savior. Look in verse 6. The Bible said, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He received the Savior. I can preach Jesus to you. I can come to your house and talk to you about Jesus. I can give you a Bible for you to read about Jesus. I can tell you preachers to listen to about Jesus. But at the end of the day, it's up to you whether or not you receive Jesus. What did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus didn't turn him away. Zacchaeus didn't push him to the side. Zacchaeus received the Savior. Watch this. I'm just going to throw this out to you quickly. In Zacchaeus receiving the Savior, there is his obedience. He obeyed the Lord's call. There was his open heart. Zacchaeus freely gave himself to Jesus. This must be done before salvation will become reality. Jesus stands at our heart's door and knocks. Jesus invites. Jesus wants to talk to us, but we must open our heart and allow him to do that. There was his obedience. There was his open heart. But watch this. There was his obvious joy. There was his obvious joy. Let me tell you what salvation will do for you, friend. It'll bring joy into your life. Zacchaeus was overjoyed at the opportunity to be with Jesus. Joy is always a byproduct of genuine salvation. He will give you joy that cannot be described or duplicated by anything else in this world. His is an everlasting joy. when your joy, listen to this, when your joy is placed in or based on things, your joy will soon pass away because things will leave. However, when we place our joy and it abides in Jesus, and that is the source of it, it will abide forever. Look at 1 Peter 1:8 where he says that it is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, salvation that day as he received the Savior, it brought a true joy in his life. If you, again, I'm going to move, but again, if you base your happiness and you base your joy on the things of this world, I promise you, you'll ever live in want. But if you'll base your joy in him, you say, preacher, I just don't understand how somebody in the darkest days of their life can put a smile on their face and say that God's been good. You want me to tell you the way that they can? Because their joy is not based on things or even people around them. Thank God for my children. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for every person sitting in this room today. But my joy, my deep down solid joy is not based on that. It's based in the Lord today. Well, Zacchaeus received the Savior. Watch this. Zacchaeus, verse 7 and 8, repented of his sins. Are you with me this morning? He repented. What did the Bible say in verse 7? And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest of a man that is a sinner. If you wanted to find Jesus in his day, let me tell you where you found him at. You found him with the sinners. You found him with the sinners. I said this preaching the other night. Wednesday night, and we're not live feeding Wednesday nights right now. Due to some of the things that I'm dealing with, and the modern day attack on Christianity. We're just walking right through the Word of God. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about homosexuality? What does the Bible say about transgenders? It's all in the Bible, by the way. We've got to base it off of that. But when you look at Jesus and the times that he was rebuking people and the times when he was turning the money tables over, you know who he was dealing with? He was dealing with the religious crowd. When you see him with somebody that realizes that they're a sinner in bad shape, you know what he's doing? Man, he's kneeling down writing in the sand and saying, I don't condemn you, and if anybody else does, let them cast the first stone. You want to find where Jesus was at, man? He was loving on sinners. Hear what I'm moving off of this, but I want to say something. May we ever be a church that welcomes the sinners into the house of God. Amen. Thank God there's a place where they can come. They can hear the preaching of God's Word. You say, well, they may not look like me. They may not act like me. They may not smell like me. Who cares? Thank God there's an oasis in the desert where they can come into and have love and hear the gospel preached to him. He was with sinners. Look in verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Do you know what he done? He confessed. He repented that day. Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to give you the last point, and we're going to go home. Repentance is still key to salvation. True repentance, you know, true repentance, Brother Robert, is not this. God, will you forgive me for what I've done? And then 2 weeks later, going right back into it. Everybody okay this morning? That's not true repentance, man. True repentance is walking away from it. You know what that lady in John chapter number 4 did? Some people says this. Well, she went right back to her lifestyle. No, she went right back to all the men, which was her lifestyle. She'd been married 5 times, and she's shacked up at the time. She was a harlot, according to the Bible. You know what she done? She did. She went back to them, but when she got there, here's what she said. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She went back to that crowd that knew her and would see the biggest difference in her life. And when she got back down there, she said, hey, there's a man, and his name is Jesus. There is a repentance of sin. There was his confession. There was his change. What did he say? He said this. He said, if I've took anything by false accusation, I give it back to him fourfold. I talked about this last Sunday, but Zacchaeus was a man that not many of us would have liked. He worked for the IRS. He was a publican. You study him out. You study that day out. And you know what he says? Sometimes I wish some of them get saved and offer me back fourfold, because I ain't so sure that they didn't take some of it by false accusation. Anyway, I got to get off that because we're online and they'll be knocking on my door tomorrow. They did send a letter the other day and said we owed a bunch more money. Thank God for a good accountant that called them and talked to them and said, hey, I don't think this is right. And they said, oh, we made a mistake. Moral of the story is that when they send you something, you better look into it or they'll just take your money by false accusation. He said, if I've done that, I give it back. I'll give it back to them fourfold. There was a change in Zacchaeus' life. There was a change in Zacchaeus' life. John 4, there was a change in that Samaritan woman. John 11, there was a change in Lazarus. He was dead and he come up alive. They loosed him and let him go. True salvation always. I'm right now done. True salvation always produces a change. Can I say that again? It always produces a change. Zacchaeus received the Savior. Zacchaeus repented of his sins. Third of all, and I'm done this morning, Zacchaeus was redeemed with a great salvation. Zacchaeus was redeemed. What did the Bible say? Verse number 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, boy, I love verse number 10. Matter of fact, I'm not here this morning to preach against other translations of the Bible. You know where I stand on it. I'm a King James person from top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I'll remain that way. One of the reasons is this. This verse right here is taken out of a lot of the modern-day translations. This verse, Luke 19:10. Why in the world would you take out a verse that says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost? Let me tell you the reason why modern day translations try to take the blood away and they try to take the authority of Jesus and the sonship and the deity of Jesus Christ away. Now, if you want to talk about that, I'll be more than glad to sit down and talk to you about that. But I sure am glad that my Bible said, Jesus come to seek and save that which was lost. You know, let me tell you the reason why. There was a day that I was lost. There was a day that I was on the road to hell. There was a day that I was going to die and go to hell. It didn't matter that I was a good little boy. It didn't matter that my daddy was a preacher and I'd been raised in the house of God. You know, let me tell you what mattered. I was lost and on the road to hell, and I sure am glad that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Watch this. Zacchaeus was redeemed with a great salvation. The mercy of Christ. Jesus took this little wicked man and in one instant saved him forever. That's what Jesus does for all of those who come to him by faith. It was the mercy of Christ that he done that. Christ had mercy on him that day. Aren't you thankful for the mercies of the Lord this morning? Matter of fact, I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Luke chapter, or not Luke, but Lamentations 3. He said this in verse number 22. His mercies are new every morning. It's not that I have to get saved every morning, but it is that every morning of my life I wake up and it's the mercies of God that I've woken up and that God helps me through another day. Then you see this in closing as Miss Tanya makes her way to the piano. There's the mission of Christ. This Zacchaeus was redeemed with a great salvation. There was the mission of Christ, verse number 10. Look at it again. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. I preached all morning to get right here. It's 3 minutes till 12. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Yes, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes, he made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He healed the palsy. And but we could go all throughout the miracles of Christ, and that was all just benefits to him being here. Let me tell you the reason that Jesus came to earth today. Verse number 10. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. I thought about this. There is the provision. If you don't hear nothing else I've said today, give me 3 or 4 minutes. There was the provision, for the Son of Man has come. You see, God provided, just as, and I don't want to go too far into this and lose some people this morning, just as if we go back to the book of Genesis and we look at man and woman sinning in the garden. You know what? Before man was born, God created an animal. And let me tell you the reason why. He knew when man was born, man was going to mess up. And he was going to need something to sacrifice. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? He was going to need something to sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He was going to need coats of skin to cover them in the garden. And you know what he done? Before man was ever created, God already provided oh yes, what they needed. And before you and I was ever born, before we was ever formed in our mother's womb, guess what? God knew that we would mess up. God knew that we would sin. So you know what he did? Some 2,000 years ago, he sent his Son to die for our sins. There's the provision, for the Son of Man has come. There's the obligation to seek and to save. What is the obligation of Christ today? What does he do today? He does this. He seeks and then he saves. But the only way he can save is if you are being sought, ask him to save. There's the restoration. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. You see, when God created, when God created man, he created man for one purpose. That was fellowship. He created him in his image. He walked with him in the cool of the day. He talked with him. He fellowshipped with him. That's what he wanted to do. But man and woman decided that they wanted to do things their way. They made a choice, fell into sin, and when they fell into sin, the fellowship between God and man was broken. God come walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? Adam had hid himself. And in order for God and man to talk together again, to walk together again, blood had to be shed. Are you hearing me? Their fellowship, watch this, had to be restored. It had to be restored. 1993, I was 15 years old. I'll save you the math, I'm 46 now. 1993, I was 15 years old. My dad left one day and drove next to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Met Brother Buster Seaton and another preacher who was actually Brother Buster's pastor. And he picked up a 1964 Chevrolet El Camino. He brought it back home. I was standing at Ma and Pa Hatfield's driveway when Daddy come to pick me up. I'll never forget it. There wasn't no phones then. There wasn't no cell phones to call and say, I'll be there at such and such time. The way I knew Daddy was almost there was I heard that old 350 small block turning about 6 or 7,000 RPMs. And it had old straight pipes that come back with two old Thrusher mufflers hanging off of it. And I knew that was my daddy. Sure enough, he come over the knoll, and that was Daddy. He pulled in. I got in that car. Man, we took off up the road. He pulled out in the road. My daddy taught me a lot of good things in my life. He taught me to love my wife. He taught me to go to church. He taught me to serve Jesus. He taught me to be a man. He taught me how to sustain myself. But he also taught me how, Brother Tom, put a car in reverse. Let it get rolling backwards. And then push a clutch in. Pull it down in first gear and get it tacked up real good and sidestep the clutch. Somebody say praise God. And when it got to going real good, had to reach up there, never let off the throttle. Push your clutch, grab second gear, sidestep the clutch. And if it had a ratchet and locker in the rear end, turn the steering wheel real quick and plant the left front tire and do donuts. My daddy taught me how to do that. I'm proud of him for that. Are you with me? He taught me a lot of other things. Taught me how to hunt, taught me how to fish, taught me how to read my Bible and serve Jesus. But I'm glad he taught me how to do burnouts too. Found this out. If you got a front wheel drive, you just pull the emergency brake cup and it locks the back tires and you're in burnout with the front tires. Put it in reverse and turn the steering wheel and you do a donut in reverse. He didn't teach me that. I found that out on my own one night. And I was like, wow, this is cool. But watch this. Daddy said this. He said, we're going to restore this car. And I said, we are? And he said, yep, we're going to restore it. And the process started, a frame-up restoration on that 1964 El Camino. And I'll never forget the day that we went to Bill Hester's shop on Baltimore Road. And it was sitting in the shop. They just got done wet sanding it and buffing it, and it was all done. It wasn't a straight drive no more. It had a paraglide transmission, had a 410 rear end with a ratchet and locker and a built 350 in it, and sounded like, oop, 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 oop. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If y'all don't, I'm sorry. They need to learn, don't they, Brother Tom? He said, amen. But watch this. What happened that day or through that process? We brought it back to its original state. We restored it. You know what Jesus wants to do with your life? He wants to bring you back to what he created you to be. And that's somebody to fellowship with. And the only way that can happen is if, number one, you realize you're lost. Number two, you repent of your sins. And number three, you receive Christ into your heart and allow him to save you. Why did he come? He come to save you. Why did he come? Because he wants to walk with you. Because he wants to talk with you. Because he wants to be your buddy. He wants to fellowship with you. But the question is this. Will you allow him to do that? You're going to make a choice today if you're lost. I know I primarily preach to the lost today. But you're going to make a choice. You're either going to accept him or you're going to turn him away. Father.